I know. Thanks for bringing it up.
The Recreation Committee meeting Monday, March the 2nd, 8:15 a.m. We're starting right on time. Thank you, Howard, for ending that last meeting on time. Let's see if we can stay in front of the game today. Item number one is approval of the minutes for December 2nd.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All right, any discussion? All in favor, please say aye. Aye. All opposed? Ayes have it. Number two is public comments. Anybody has any public comments they'd like to make? We give you a couple minutes to come up to the microphone, give your name and address for the record, and tell us what you'd like to tell us.
Right up there.
Right here? Yes, sir.
You go keep time?
Yeah, I'll time.
Good morning, council and committee. My name's Tripp Moy. I'm a longtime Mount Pleasant resident. I grew up here. And I'm here just to speak on two things. One is I've coached a basketball team from Mount Pleasant Academy for the last 2 years. And recently, I would just like for consideration for, probably can't change this year, obviously, but for next year, you know, the fees to rent gym space have just risen dramatically. I think they've almost tripled. I know this brand new gym that we've been talking about for the last couple of years has gone up to $95 an hour, and in some cases, maybe $110, depending if you have to have somebody from the town of Mount Pleasant there as well. And so I coach a, you know, second grade, third grade basketball team. It's volunteer based, and we've had to cut back from 2 days a week to 1 day a week just because parents can't simply afford the rental rate. And it just seems $95 to $120 an hour to rent gym space. And that time is only between 3 and 5 o'clock, because once 5 o'clock hits, there's actually no availability in this town for gym space competing with volleyball, basketball, et cetera. So, you know, listen, I just ask for consideration in the years to come, especially for the public schools that don't have a gym. There's plenty of them here in Mount Pleasant, and it's just trying to keep kids off the streets and keeping them busy in a structured environment and keeping them physically fit. So anyway, appreciate the consideration.
Sure, absolutely.
The second thing I'm here, which is really a main thing, is I've obviously had several conversations over the last couple months, and just being a longtime resident and growing up in Mount Pleasant, I've always had a privilege of the recreation field space. I've been always very impressed with the rec department. And this town has grown tremendously. I think we're all experiencing a lot of growth that's happened over the years in many fronts. I know rec's just one probably challenge that y'all are facing as council. And what I would love to try to do, and I've talked to a good many stakeholders in this town, is to try to work with the town of Mount Pleasant to really spearhead from the residents a way to really create a long-term vision of the recreation space. I don't see this town slowing down any from a growth standpoint. I see even more young kids. And just every person I talk to, whether it's lacrosse, whether it's soccer, whether it's basketball, whether it's volleyball, there's a constant theme. And it's just lack of facilities, lack of field space. And I just personally, I know I'm not the only one in this camp, feel Mount Pleasant is just very, very fortunate of what we have from a resource standpoint. And I think with coming together and trying to figure this out would be a very, very positive thing. I don't know who from the town wakes up every day and saying, hey, how can we solve this current challenge? You know, I know the rec department's in a tough spot because they don't have the facilities. I'm sure they would love to have more facilities to offer people like myself and other stakeholders in this town.
Wrap it up.
And so I don't know what's being done. I know there's 250 acres that's been in the town of Mount Pleasant between Rifle Range and 17 that has been sitting there. And would love to try to continue the conversation to try to get that ball moving. I know nobody wants to raise taxes, but I'm convinced with the right vision and the right stakeholders behind you helping promote that from a resident base, that we could accomplish what we need to do to get that stuff built.
Good.
So,
thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah, we've had some conversations with others that feel your same way. Steve, you had anything you want to add to that about our running the gym or?
No.
The cost. I know we just recently raised it because we were so far behind everybody else. We did a little study from City Charleston, North Charleston, and people like that. And we saw we were woefully behind everybody. So we raised it. This was what, last year?
Yeah, it was in the it began in January of 2020. So yeah. just started 2 months ago.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
Good morning. My name is Nick Christ. I'm from Charleston. I live here in Mount Pleasant. And I've been lifting weights and active outdoor fitness since I was a little kid. It's one thing that experience I share with my dad. And One thing that I've noticed, observed over the time, that there's a lack of outdoor fitness space outside of the area on the bridge. You know, for people that like to run and bike, that's one thing. But for someone that likes to do a little bit more advanced moves with pull-ups and dips and those types of things, I've observed around the country, it's California, Miami, that they have outdoor community fitness areas that are all in use every time I see them. So it triggered a thought when I was coming into Mount Pleasant. I looked off to the left and I see that void area there. I thought that that would be an optimal area to put something like that. You could perhaps tuck it under the bridge or out of the way so it's not intruding on the parking. So I went down there and looked, and after giving it some more thought, I thought it would be a great area to make it sort of a hybrid gathering area for the community, in that we could perhaps put a fitness center there, or fitness bars. We could put perhaps a splash park, maybe a dog park. And so me and a friend put together a proposal, and I presented it to Mr. Santos and Mr. Rambo. And I'd like to, on my end, I'd like to reach out to local gyms and see if perhaps we could find a way to do a private public at least awareness, or raise some funds together. I think we probably need to assess the cost, and then once we determine that number, we can go out and reach out to the hospitals and to the you know, F45, Hilo, all the local gyms here in the area, because those guys like to do outdoor workouts. And so it would give them an area to kind of mix it up from their normal routine.
Good. Thank you very much, Nate. Yeah, public and private partnerships, I think, have worked well. And I think you're right. While we were out there yesterday, we saw many people using the bridge, and also using, we have one little section already we have where you can do pull-ups and dips and things like that, and people were using that like crazy too. So I think you're right. Anyhow, anybody else would like to get up? Here we go, Mr. Pickleball.
Get back at you.
Yeah.
I'm not coming whining, complaining.
The Pickleball King.
My name is Al Bradshaw Whittemore. I live at 577 Antebellum Lane in Mount Pleasant, and I just came from the pickleball courts, and they're back in use today. This is Marion Brown, and I just want to say we appreciate it. Those courts are some of the best-looking courts you've ever seen. We did have to, the utilities didn't clean up after themselves, so I brought my broom, and we had to sweep it off. But we really appreciate it. They look great. Also, we appreciate them putting out a couple of rollers and squeegees. And we probably won't take advantage of the lights because the basketball players are there at night, but that's well done. We really appreciate it. I've also posted on Team Reach about the parking situation that you requested. I understand you rent that facility, so we've requested everyone to park on Royal. And also, I put out there about the restricted hours. Some players not associated with my scheduled players showed up, and there was a conflict there. Also, I appreciate the tournament. This is the third year. The pickleball tournament is going to be next weekend. So I'm going to have a pickleball social at somewhere the night before, and try and apply the opponents with alcohol so they won't do so well. Pickleball is really growing. I have an email I send out to over 700 people, and this afternoon I'm teaching a group of youth at Marion Brown right after lunch, if requested. I always give free lessons since I am the Mount Pleasant USAPA ambassador for pickleball. And then the other thing that I said is for the I'm a member on the board of the Senior Center Association, and we appreciate a Mount Pleasant Rec Department member showing up each time and representing themselves and keeping us up to date on that. And no criticism today. I appreciate everything y'all do. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I was going to let everybody know, full disclosure, that you're on the board over there, and I think it's going good. You know, I appreciate being able to sit in and at least help out where I can. All right, anybody else got anything to say? Okay, we will move on. Employee of the month.
That's like that. Keith, can you stand up, please? Stand over here with Keith. Hopefully you can hear me, Karen, if I speak over here. Is that all right? I wanted to present to you Mr. Keith Keller over here. You can face committee over here. Some of y'all may know we just refinished the Park West pool over the holidays, and Keith was a huge part of that. So I'll read his right up here. Keith worked closely with the contractors with the pumping and refilling of the pool and monitoring the project to ensure it was being done on schedule. He was involved with the project on a daily basis while continuing to maintain operations at the Jones Center pool. As the project neared completion, Keith's role became vital in preparing the pool for reopening. He worked several days straight through the weekend, vacuuming, bath washing the pool multiple times. When there's construction like that, there's so much debris and stuff that gets in lines. All the chalkiness in the water has to settle down, get vacuumed up again, did it over and over again. And he ensured that all the debris was removed from the pool and the lines and restored the chemical balance. He brought the pool temperature back up in order to be open for swimmers on Monday the 6th as planned, right on schedule. So just as we had said from the very beginning. And with the departure of the aquatics coordinator in mid-December, Keith really stepped up as the point man for this project. He took the lead on making sure that we had that taken care of. It's with great pleasure that I present to the committee Keith Keller as our employee of the month. Thank you.
Good.
How about that?
Yes. No, I think.
Which one?
I'll come this way.
All right. How do you like? I thought you were taking. Thank you.
Keith.
Thank you very much.
While I'm up here, it was not on the agenda. I'm just going to add one more thing. I just wanted to introduce you, Nicole Ashby. Nicole has started with us with the city of Charleston. She was working in the city of Charleston previously. And I just got finished mentioning about Keith, the aquatics coordinator, left in mid-December. Nicole has filled that position and is with us. She started about 4 weeks ago and is doing a great job. She's been very well received by staff. She comes to us highly recommended from all of her work for years in the aquatics program with Charleston, and I'm glad to have her on board. Thank you.
Good, welcome. Great. Shelly, everything going good on your end? Special Olympics?
We have over 50 athletes in basketball. We're going to do our local tournament this weekend, and then we're going to do a March Madness meeting.
Good.
And then we also have all of our swimmers, our swim season days.
Well, please keep us updated. I'd like to attend some of those if you can. Yeah.
Got it.
Calendar invite would be nice.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys. We'll move on to budget review number four, budget review for year 2021. I will defer to.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Amora. Good morning, members of committee. Good morning to you as well. I will go ahead and review the operating expenditures as well as the capital and maintenance at the same time. I'll just give you the highlights, as there's many line items in this budget. You're familiar with much of what we do and what's in here, but I'll start with the totals. And if you have your budget books, the Recreation Department budget is found on pages 77 and 78. If you don't, that's no problem. I'll go through it here. For you, overall, we are proposing an increase of 4% to the budget. It's about $297,000. Most of that is in the form of salaries, retirement contributions, pay for performance. In fact, 260 of the 297 is in regard to what I just spoke of. So that's where your money is in this proposed budget for the Recreation Department. There are no new positions that are recommended, and some of the notable expenses, some of the highlighted expenses are, it's your fifth line item down, the last four digits are 4518, it's the last item that says salaries and wages temporary, and there's an $86,000 change, increase, from this budget over last year's budget due to new DHEC requirements regarding lifeguard coverages. In fact, I think it's because of the size of the expenditure, it's probably worth spending an extra minute discussing. Steve, would you do that?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, there are DHEC requirements. They actually had gone in place previously, the year before. If you take a look at the FY19 proposal, the actual expenses is $277,000. So the increase from 2019 to now, it seems less dramatic compared to what you show in the 2020 budget. Part of that's because the 2020 budget was made very, very early in the budget year when we were creating the budget, I believe in October or so, as we were creating the budget, and we had not completed a 2019 actuals. Some of the reasons for that, like Erica had mentioned, is the DHEC requirements. There is a requirement of one guard for every 25 participants in the pool. But I want to mention with that, when there's 25, that means we basically have to have two guards at all times, anytime that they're there, because the guards work a 45-minute shift with rotation. So unless you shut down the pool when they stop working, in order to keep the pool open, you have two guards with under 25. Over 25, you have three guards. Over 50, you have four guards on staff on deck at the same time. And the primary increases in those areas were in our programs. We have increased programs significantly. In group lessons, in our water program. The water program has gone up tremendously. And in some of the programs that we support for swim meets and that sort of thing. We have increased to some degrees the number of hours in order to cover the DHEC requirement, as I mentioned. But we also had a pay increase that occurred previously when we had a very difficult time filling the lifeguard positions, and there was a change now for longevity. And lifeguards previously, some of them were making under $10 an hour. Now the average lifeguard starts at $11.59 per hour. That's the beginning of pay, and they get a 50-cent increase per year of longevity. And that's really helped us fill those positions, so it's also at a higher rate. So those are the reasons why it has increased as significantly as it has.
I noticed, just looking at 2018 to 2019, significant increase, in recreation, over $78,000, 2019 over 2018, and that's just from the rental revenue that we're doing. I noticed that at least with the baseball, basketball, lacrosse, soccer, and softball, all of it's positive except really soccer, which is very surprising. Usually we're pretty strong in soccer. Soccer was down a little bit, but the rest of them were up. I think lacrosse, we were only down four peoples, which is really not much. But one of the things, I think you mentioned, is swimming lessons. That's almost doubled. I think that's fantastic that we got so many people out there learning how to swim. It's great. Even our senior membership is up. So recreation is really looking good. We're moving forward. Everything seems to be increasing. So I'm really happy with seeing that advancement over the last couple of years to where we are now. I think this year will be an even better year now that we've got the gym. We'll have it for a full year. I think it'll be great. So, go ahead.
With the increase in the lifeguard fee, I know the and one of the public speakers today talked about the increase in gym rentals and soccer field rental rates. What about the rentals for the aquatics facilities?
That went up as well. That went up as well in our rental rates for any of the pool. We switched from
that adjust enough for to make up for this difference as well.
Yes, when it pertains to a rental.
Gotcha.
Not all of the staffing pertains to rentals. Yeah. Certainly, most of the staffing pertains to your normal regular hours of operation that are going on. But certainly, we needed to increase it because of the cost of staffing a pool. Previous rental fees barely even covered the cost of staff. So we now moved it to a per lane hourly rate for rental of the pool. And it has increased it significantly.
Okay. Because some people just like to lap swim and they don't want to use the whole pool, right?
That's right, right.
Okay.
If I can take you down to item 3300, just above middle of the page, it's contractual services. We break out this line item like many others. Goodness, I think we have 20 pages of detail behind the total section. But if you go just a couple pages back to page 79 under contractual services, I wanted to point out what's listed as item number one, which is the Patriots Point contract. This is the amount of money that we lease from the College of Charleston, our ball fields, soccer fields out there. And that's $24,000. It's by far the largest item in contractual services. And in my estimation, worthy of pointing out to you as we review the budget. little further down under...
One second, Eric.
Yes, sir.
As far as revenue that we make, get from those fields, putting on tournaments or anything like that, is there any kind of revenue that's coming to offset that?
Not much. We utilize those fields very, very heavily for our own programs. You recall much for tournaments that we put on out there?
Yeah, the tournament, we don't put on, there's no tournaments that we are putting on out over there. They, however, there are groups that are renting it for tournaments. I mean, USAMP is still renting the facility for tournaments over there.
That's something I think that we might want to look at, maybe not do it, but for us putting on tournaments. In other words, instead of letting other people put them on and you know, make all the money, we might want to try and see if we can, you know, put on some tournaments. And because I think that would help us, you know, significantly, which we can reinvest back into the fields and keep the fields nicer if we're making more revenue out of it. Just an idea, but I think we ought to really look at that and see if we can't start putting on some for the town, for ourselves.
It's an excellent point, sir, and we're glad to do it. We see the greatest opportunity with the new stadium that council's approved up at Carolina Park. That facility will lend itself more to us being able to be able to host and put on tournaments, which we plan to do.
Well, I know Hungry Neck Soccer, when they first started back in the 90s, I think, they used to put on tournaments, I know, and they were killing it out there. Because I mean, a lot of my friends' children played, so I was able to go out there and watch it. So just an idea. I just trying to look at ways that we can continue maintaining the best, you know, recreation fields that we can and make some revenue out of it as well. That's all.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Account 8140, which is on the second page, page 78 of the budget, towards the end, is the purchase of banners for sponsorships. Naturally, the sponsorship money that comes into the program, we use to buy those banners, but that's a $5,000 expenditure. And I wanted to point out at 6100 under general supplies, 6100 is towards the top of page 78. We've had a large change here. It reflects a large decrease of $45,000. But what we've done instead, it's really not the case. We've allocated that money out to the specific program. So it appears to be a large decrease, but it has been spread out to other programs that are associated.
Is this from General
Supplies? Yes, from General Supplies. It's you'll see under the comments section, it's listed several times, implying that the money is in a different location. We have general increases in camps and programs. The good news about that is most of that is offset by revenues that come in for people utilizing those camps and programs. On the CIP side, capital, you've heard this before, but there's, as far as recreation projects on the capital side, you're familiar with Mount Pleasant Way. You're familiar with the funding that has been set aside for it for the first year. There's $500,000 in Greenbelt funds. It was also $150,000 in recreation impact fees. Mr. Rambo made a good point, asked a good question at the last budget committee meeting about whether that money could be reallocated. That indeed is grant match money associated with that project, so we cannot, excuse me.
Go ahead, Jake.
Mr. Moore, how much, you said grant match, is it like a 50-50 match kind of deal, or?
Yeah, Marcy, do you remember? Go ahead.
The whole project is $300,000, of which we have it set that if we complete it, then we're eligible to get $100,000 back. So $200,000 is the match to get the additional $100,000 for that project.
Did previous council vote on doing those matching funds, or?
Well,
I mean, as part of the budget.
I'm not aware of a grant that we've turned down in the past. Usually we try to go after every grant we can. Council supported the project, so normally we try to group together as many funding sources as possible to make things happen. If council would like to revisit that, or if council would like us to not pursue the grant, you know, please let us know. It could come as a recommendation from this committee.
No, I'm with you. I love every grant that's out there. I want to try and get every one we can. That helps us. Even if we have to put a little bit toward it, it certainly benefits the town, I think.
Yeah, but if the overall cost of the project is $50 million, I mean, we're talking like, I don't even know if it'll be done in my lifetime. So to spend $200,000 to get a $100,000 grant that doesn't do a whole lot at this point when we have facilities that need that $200,000 in recreation impact fees, just because you're getting something for it doesn't mean that it's worth spending the $200,000 for.
We think we can piece together this project in the near term. Over the life of the project, yes, we expect it to be a significant expenditure. But we plan to start putting together pieces in a Mount Pleasant way fairly quickly. Once a design is in place, once yourselves as council members have had the opportunity to review it and sign off on it. But we plan to get started. You know, if you look at the middle of town, we have several opportunities there to link open space areas together for the public's enjoyment, from the Boone Hall area down to our recreation center, throughout sort of that center corridor, cultural corridor, we call it here at the town. So we're pretty optimistic that we can knock out some significant pieces in the near term.
And, you know, it goes back to what I said earlier about the public-private partnership. You know, phase one of that's already been named after Kenny Seaman. And so Seaman and Whitesides have done that. And I think we need to encourage local businesses and people to be able to step forward instead of the town doing it all. But, you know, to give other people an opportunity to name certain areas of that Mount Pleasant Way after, you know, somebody special or whatever, because I think that will help us tremendously. I mean, I'm big on, you know, public and private partnerships, and I think we can get a lot more bang for our buck by doing that. I don't expect the town to pay for that whole thing. Hopefully we can have people step up, whether it's the hospitals or foundations. I think that's important for the town. We're starting it off, but I think they ought to take the ball and kind of run with it. So just my opinion.
I think you'll see the 250 acres of property, recreation property, jointly owned by us and PRC. We have money. This money is going towards opening up trails there. So while we don't have the funding to create ball fields, say, and facilities, we will have the funding to start opening up opportunities for public to walk the land. And then we connect to the next one and the next one and the next one to make something really special.
Yeah. Jake? So
I understand that. I mean, it's just, to me, it's kind of like when my wife goes shopping and she talks about how much she saved versus how much she spent. You know, just because, like I said, we're receiving some matching funds doesn't mean you throw in that much money, in my opinion, when we have other areas that need the money sooner.
And what other areas are you referring to?
Some of these projects that we're talking about. I mean, heck, even the Carolina Park facility that we discussed at length last week. You know, to me, that's a much more pressing spend of that $200K than on this, in my opinion.
Okay.
Y'all can do it. Just deliver a recommendation from committee, the budget committee, and we're happy to you know, whatever you desire, we're happy to reallocate that money towards something else.
Well, I think it's good to talk about it. I really do. But I think interconnectivity where people can get out and hike and bike. Like I said, we were down at the bridge over the weekend, and you wouldn't believe the amount of people running and walking the bridge and pushing strollers and exercising. And I think that's fantastic. And the more we can, you know, lead the way on that, the better. It's going to be better for the health of the community. And I was very impressed yesterday to see how many people were actually out exercising. That's why when me and Nick talked about the project, we just thought, God, it just seems like so little money was such a great benefit, because people were already using the little one we had down there. So I think it's good that we do what we can to support health and fitness and recreation, you know, for the benefit of our citizens. But always keeping our eye on the money and making sure that we spend it properly. And I agree with you on that. Yes, ma'am.
I just think, you know, when we have limited funding for a variety of projects and we are able to kind of help projects inch their way along to kind of cannibalize a myriad of projects for something else, I don't know that I'm comfortable with that. I feel like we have a lot of priorities in the town, a lot of things that we want to accomplish, and so I don't know that it makes sense to what's the phrase? Take from Peter to pay Paul? Is that? Yeah. So I don't
rob from Peter
to pay. I don't know what the word is. Yeah. So I just am not. I'm not comfortable with that. So I think the Mount Pleasant Way is such a benefit to the entire town of Mount Pleasant that I think we should keep moving forward with that.
And
Go ahead, Jake.
GM, I appreciate your thought. Councilwoman Whitley, I appreciate your thoughts on that. The one thing I will say is that, and I just lost my entire train of thought. The Mount Pleasant Way is getting consistent funding from the Greenbelt funds, you know, each fiscal year that can be spent on that project, whereas none of these other recreation projects that we're looking at recreation impact fees are pretty much the only funding source for a lot of these other recreation projects where that project in particular can take that Greenbelt money.
But the Greenbelt money can only be used to acquire land. It can't be used to improve it. So if we only give Greenbelt funds, we might get the land, but we won't be able to build trails or do anything that would enable the public to actually use it. That's the problem with the Greenbelt funds.
Well, that's where the public-private partnership comes in. Maybe we can get somebody like one of the hospitals to take that stretch, you know, and be able to invest in it, sort of like Seaman and Whitesides has done. I think it's great that they've been the first ones out of the chute, so to speak, set an example for the other businesses to say, hey, we can partner with the town and we can really make something nice for everybody by working together. So I think that's, for us being able to get the green space is one thing, but to have the investment from folks, you know, that want to come in and put money into it, and whether they're going to name it after somebody or whatever, for me, you're putting out there a recreation opportunity to promote health and welfare of our citizens.
I mean, do we have private companies knocking down our door to sponsor any of our projects in town, from Carolina Park, you know, the Oceanside Stadium, to Mount Pleasant Way, to, you know, I mean, we talk a lot about public-private partnerships, but do we have any public-private partnerships?
We do the best we can to get sponsorships for our rec programs, and that is challenging at times. As far as capital projects, besides a contribution towards the cultural arts facility, I'm not aware of any.
Okay. That doesn't mean we can't start if we push it. I've never really seen a big push to do that in my 20 years, and I just think that if we start that, I think there are people out there, the economy's good, I think people will be willing to do it. I mean, like I said, Seaman Whiteside stepped up without being asked to do it, and I think they are taking a lead in that, and I think it shows other businesses here that are thriving in Mount Pleasant, and maybe they want to give back to the community. So we really, really haven't put a push toward it, but I'm here to say I'm ready to start pushing and seeing if we can't get more people to get involved. And we got some investors out there that maybe want to get involved as well. So I think we ought to talk to everybody and see what we can do. Anyhow, go ahead, Eric. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. more capital. There's allocations in the CIP. You've heard this already. For Carolina Park Phase 4, there's $200,000 in hospitality recreation in there for that project, as well as money for the Park West Pool. $550,000 is our beginning allocation to build up money to renovate that project. You all discussed at the last budget committee meeting possibly transferring those funds towards the stadium project. And two replacement vehicles are programmed in the budget. We have a regular fleet management program here, and when vehicles get old and need a replacement, we put them in the budget for, and we pay cash for them. We have a minivan and a sedan called for next year. Those are the notable increases, sir.
Okay. A
couple questions, but questions. One, again, as one of our public comments talked about, is rental revenue, and we increase that rental revenue. I'm unclear when I look at the budget, where does that rental revenue actually go? Like, what does that go towards?
Goes to the general fund, supports the entire operations of the town. It's not earmarked for recreation.
It's not even earmarked for recreation.
Well, sir, if we earmarked it for recreation, we wouldn't be able to fund other departments. I mean, it's a $7.7 million department. It brings in $2.5-3 million. Yep. So, I mean, it's every little bit we can get just offsets the total cost of the full operation.
Yeah, we're helping to hold up some of the ones that can't generate that kind of revenue. We talked about that earlier, how the recreation department can do that. We can help out by putting on events and by sponsoring things. Recreation is one of the few services that we do here at the town where we can generate revenue to support other areas in the town.
So while I understand that, you know, if we're, you know, as a, having children who play sports and having a child in travel sports, and these we feel these increased gym rental fees and field rental fees, and if the logic is that, you know, this is what's required to maintain those fields, to me, that those rental fees should be put directly back into recreation capital programs or recreation capital improvement or maintenance programs, not spent townwide, but that's just me.
Well, some of it does go back into it. Not all of it goes to other areas of the town. They certainly keep up our ball fields. We got some of the nicest facilities out there. I mean, Charleston, all of them. I mean, if you look at it, some of the facilities we have, we have some of the top facilities in the area, but certainly not all of it goes back because, as Eric said, some of it has to go back to support other areas of the town.
I would say we did have some of the nicest, but I think a lot of places have caught up to us and surpassed us.
I will tell you, we got the nicest senior center. We just got picked best of the best of the senior center. We just opened this brand new gym over here that is a top gym that I've ever seen. I mean, if you look around and see what we really have out there, you'll be amazed at the quality of our facilities. I mean, anyway.
Can give you as much government as you want.
Huh?
Can give you as much government as you want.
As much government as we can afford.
You can afford.
Last budget question.
Go ahead.
This recreation camp contractual services on page 85. Some people are really getting paid off these summer camps. I mean, I like Coach Steve Myers, but that's $26,000 he's making. Can we just talk about these camp fees? And it's very relevant today as it's the first day of summer camp registration. I'm sure you guys are busy. Is how are these contracts worked? I mean, is it like they get a certain percentage of the overall? Go ahead.
Absolutely, yeah. Not a penny is spent here unless every penny spent here is covered with registration fees. It's a 70-30 split on nearly every one of these programs.
70-30 being?
Contractor receiving 70% of the registration fee and 30% going to the recreation department. So these are all contracted services to operate these camps. These are not our employees offering these camps. The trip camp is one of the few ones that we have our staff that actually run the camp ourselves. Okay. So you know, that expense pays for our town employee staff and the supplies and everything that we offer in the camp. But all of the contractual expenses pay for 70% of it, pays the instructor, and they are responsible for all of the expenses related to the camp.
Okay. Is that a pretty standard contract? I mean, pretty standard agreement that all the other towns use a 70-30?
That's very standard.
Very standard, yeah. Okay.
Hey Jake, just since you mentioned Coach Meyer, Coach Meyer is a longtime coach. He's coach of the rec department.
Very
well. Yeah. Port of Goud, outstanding coach. So he's giving back to the recreation department by giving his time and coaching. I think it helps our citizens a lot when you got a qualified coach like that out there working with the kids. Anyhow.
Well, sir, if you're comfortable with the budget, we would appreciate a recommendation to the budget committee.
Okay. Do I hear a motion?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Since in the CIP component of it, there was this move at the greater budget committee to move forward with the Oceanside joint stadium project. Would we have to make a recommendation that involves that, or are we just doing this, what is presented to us? And would that be the greater budget committee that is going to address that?
You could do it either way. You certainly could weigh in on capital priorities for the recreation department. That's absolutely within your purview. You're correct. It was discussed at budget committee. Budget committee authorized the stadium project. At some point, we will be looking for funding for that project. So rather than addressing that now, you may just want to wait for when the full CIP comes up for adoption. That way you can as a full budget committee, y'all can look at all the projects together at the same time.
Okay. Then I recommend we approve the budget as presented.
Second.
All right, we got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Ayes have it. All right, program and project updates.
You covered part of it for me there.
Absolutely. I tell you, I was so happy. I love to see us increasing in, you know, in recreation, especially swimming. That's just near and dear to me. You know, Kali, you know, being on the peninsula, seeing all these kids learning how to swim, it's just, I'm so happy to see that, so.
Well, we are very proud of the program and how it's going. The swimming program in particular, the water program, when I was talking about some of the program increases, I didn't give you the numbers before on it, but just to let you know, in 2018, we had 374 children from in the water program participating from the local schools.
For those who don't know what the water program is, can you tell them a little bit about it?
Absolutely.
If I'm not mistaken, this started after we had some kids that had drowned here in Mount Pleasant.
Then
we talked about starting a program where the schools could use swimming lessons as PE. And so, but if you want to go ahead and just briefly, just tell them a little bit about it, for those who don't know what the water program
is. Thank you. It's one we're definitely very proud of, so I always like to tell the story. But yes, the water program is offered to elementary school students throughout Mount Pleasant. It is $5 for a series of lessons. In essence, this is one of the few programs that there is not very much associated revenue with it. It is an expense to the town, but it's a very, very, very good expense to the town to offer this program. They bus them over to the Jones Center or to Park West Pool. They offer the program. This is not to help these children become Olympic athletes or anything along those lines, competitive swimmers. This is to stop children from drowning and teach them to be able to swim and feel comfortable in the water, and give them exposure for a lot of children that are not exposed to getting in the pools. We have gone, like I started to say, the 374 children participated in 2018. In 2019, we had 1,300 participants in the program. So it is doing very, very well. It's a very strong program. We're very proud of.
And you know, I have not read in the papers since that time of any kids drowning. I have not read any. Unless you have, I haven't. So it's really making a positive impact.
Right. Mm-hmm. Couple other things I just want to point out. I really wish I had sent an email out to you telling you about the skate park event that occurred last Friday. We didn't know what it was going to be. It was the first time we did it. It was called Skate in the Park After Dark, kind of to celebrate the fact that we have lights on the park now. That was part of our PARD project, one of the grants that we received. It was a terrific event. We had a food truck out there. We had a demonstration going on. There must have been at least 50 kids out there skating, just out there at nighttime with the lights on, had a DJ provide music. It was a really, really a fun festive event, something we'll definitely be doing again. And I think it'll help promote the park for a lot of people. I know I've talked to several people that were brand new to the area. They had never been out there, and they were very excited about it. So glad to see them come, and they'll hopefully become regular users of the facility.
And Steve, one quick thing. I just want to give a shout out to Seacoast Church.
Yep.
Because when we were trying to build this skateboard park years ago, once again, we were running into issues where we didn't have the money to do it. And Seacoast stepped up and gave us a donation that helped us build that park. So whenever we talk about it, I always like to give a shout out to Seacoast, because without their help, we might not have that park. So anyhow, thanks.
There's some other events going on. The special events office did win the best T-shirt and best poster for the Blessing of the Fleet. It's almost an annual award for them. They do so well on that event. It always gets recognized. As Councilman Santos mentioned, that we did win the best of the best award for our senior center just recently, and that was a nice award to be able to recognize the facility over there. Cultural Arts and Pride Commission has picked some more artists to do some more of the shells, the half shells that we have around town. We're excited about that. There's going to be one that's going to be placed right out here in front of Town Hall, actually near the bus stop. So it's going to be a very, very, very. It's been very well received by everybody. Everybody loves them. So. I also want to mention that coming up this weekend is the Jim Reichman Tournament. It's our 25th anniversary of the Jim Reichman Tournament. It's a senior basketball 3-on-3 tournament. It'll be held here in the new Town Hall Gym for the first time. It's been at Park West for years, but it's going to be the new Town Hall Gym for the first time.
25 years, to be exact.
Yep. Right. And obviously, we're gearing up for Easter season with all of our Easter egg hunts and everything else. But that's really it.
Good. Anything else for the cause? All right, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.